Don't let the Z fool you. This isn't a Puck Bunny podcast. It's Game Misconduct with Dory and CT.
Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
So this is our super special Stanley Cup extravaganza wrap-up season episode. We're going to be joined by a couple guests, and it's going to be in two parts. Our first guest for part one is one of our favorite people in the whole world, and I was cheering from my couch last night watching the Stanley Cup presentation at Raymond James Stadium, Miss Sonia Bryson-Kirksey. Welcome to the show again, and I'm so excited because we're actually being able to, like, look at you. We're doing this on Zoom, so I can actually see you.
Yay! Yay! I love it.
Oh, my gosh, the blue hair. And you're in your Stanley Cup Champs t-shirt. Like, this is amazing. I couldn't think of anybody else I want to celebrate the Stanley Cup with than you.
Aw, thank you so much.
So let's just talk. We want to find out how you're doing health-wise. I know everybody always checks in with you on Twitter. How are you doing so far?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I have my days. There was a time in the watch parties where I had to take a break. I had to miss one in order to get my rest. You know, one of the hallmarks of MS is extreme fatigue. So, and I was doing a lot more than normal people were doing. So I had to take a break during that part, but, I'm glad I got that energy back to celebrate at the end.
So what were you doing during the hiatus when, you know, we had all these months off? Like, how did you spend your time? Just resting or?
Believe it or not, I had some other gigs. There were other events that went on, that people, you know, wanted to have. And we just did it socially distanced, or we did video, recordings of my anthem for them. And then also I do art. So, this is my office/art room that I'm in right now. And, I kind of started working on a lot of that stuff. So
you kept busy.
I did. Absolutely.
All right. So the one thing we want to address, we brought it up on our show a few times, was you just do such a beautiful job. And we've known it for years. You've kind of become a part of us. Like, everybody who's a Lightning fan is like, that's my Sonia. But the neat thing was, is while the earlier rounds were going on, because people were able to see you on the broadcast and hear your anthem, I saw so many fans of different teams saying, "You're amazing. Oh my gosh, the Lightning anthem singer's incredible." Was that just really neat to get, like, all these other fans from other teams just like, "Hey, you're really amazing at what you do."
It was very cool. There's only one other time where that's happened to me, and that was during the 2015 run. And there was a Red Wings fan who came to a game, and she went back home and wrote an email to the Lightning and said, "You know, I don't pull for you guys, but your anthem singer is the best." And they sent me the letter, and that just warmed my heart, you know. So it's pretty cool to have people from other teams. I've got lots of pictures with people from other teams that come to the Amalie, and they're like, "Can we just take a picture with you?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." So it's all good.
Did you back, you know, I think it was 2013 you started singing. Did you ever think, like, you know, now, I mean, you retired from the Air Force now and everything, but did you ever think when you first got asked to do it, like, you would become such an integral part of the team and the experience?
Absolutely not. I thought it was the one and done. You know, they're going to have me sing for about a week or so, and then I'll be done with that. You know, I just felt like, I mean, be honest, I just didn't feel worthy. I thought it was one of those things, you know, because, I mean, sometimes you don't come into your own as an artist, as a singer, as a person who does anything that you're good at, until you get the confidence behind it. And I just didn't really have a lot of confidence back then, even though I did it. And I tried to do it well, and I tried to do it the same way every time. I just didn't have the confidence back then. But now I feel like that I'm more part of the family than anything else. And I think that's what gave me my confidence.
And
let me tell you, I've sung the national anthem a couple times. I am nowhere near the vocalist that you are. And I, you know, I've auditioned to sing in bigger arenas, and it is so hard to do because of the reverb. And I think I've said this to you before, like just that alone, how you can stay on time with the music, stay on pitch, because it's hard to hear in there.
Yeah.
I'm in awe of you, and you're just so amazing. So I love you so much.
Well, Emily, if you believe it, does not have that much reverb. The reverb that you hear in Emily is typically from the announcing from up top. Mm-hmm. Down on the bottom, you don't hear it that much. So it's not hard in Emily. However, in Ray J last night, Ray J has a constant reverb. And so you just kind of have to focus. That's when it comes in, when I tell you that I sing it the exact same way every time. Mm-hmm. That's when that comes in handy. Because if you do it the exact same tempo, and at the same way every time, then you don't have to worry about that because you're just singing straight and you don't have to worry about hearing yourself.
So we're speaking with Sonia Bryson Kirksey, the amazing national anthem singer for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And since you brought it up, we were going to talk about it a little bit later, but since you brought up Ray J, tell us about that. Because like I said, I was watching it on television and you are really ingrained with all of these celebrations. So tell us how these celebrations have been.
They have been amazing. The one at the Amelie when the guys first came back was just awesome. I didn't really touch them that much, you know, during that one because that was their thing. Mm-hmm. And their families were there. And I stayed back purposely because I know that they're trying to, you know, reintegrate with their families and stuff. But it was nice to watch, you know, be on the side and watch. They look tired. You know, I was looking at them for their well-being. I hope you get some sleep kind of thing. but of course not, right? And then last night was our time. It was the community's time to kind of work with them and talk to them and see them in their true form, you know, in their celebratory form, I'll put it that way. and it was really cool just to see them happy. Listen, I have seen Andre Vasilevsky smile probably twice the whole 7 years I've been there, and he was ear to ear the entire night. And I thought that was wonderful. I'm like, this guy really is happy now.
I know most people were talking about Kucherov because I don't want to say a robot, but he's so like Russian and robotic. And then he's gone. It's Kuch gone wild.
I think you even got a hug from him last night after you sang the national anthem. I'm like, Sonia got a hug from Kucherov. Yeah.
He gave me a high five at the end of the anthem. But then afterwards, when everything was over, he was on stage with the cup, he and another player. And he saw me in the crowd and I went over to the stage to say, and he just grabbed me and hugged me for like a minute. I'm like, dude, let go. But I know that there were some other things working there, like maybe alcohol, but he truly said, I love the way you sing. We all love the way you sing. And I'm so glad that they let you do the recording for us in the bubble. And I was like, oh, that made my night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Yeah, and because you did sing in the bubble, and then when they was it the final that they went to the other, and people really, I mean, were you? I could not. Rachel and I kept talking hilarious. Like, oh my gosh, people are about to riot over Sonia not singing. This is insane. And then you actually had to come out and say, guys, listen, thank you, but I don't have anything to do with it. It wasn't, and we even said a few times, it's not the Lightning. It's not the team. It's an NBC broadcast. They do things their own way.
Yeah, they do.
So you never, you know, I just think like you just had to kind of calm everybody down. Like, guys, it's fine.
Yeah.
We're good.
What people fail or the fans fail to realize is it's just like the NFL. If you think about it all season long for football, you have different singers for different stadiums. And then on the big night, Super Bowl, you're going to have all these stars come out. And so they did the same thing with the Stanley Cup. And even our Lightning people, the execs and some of the people that are important in that organization, you know, kind of push back at the NHL, and they pretty much told them to shut up and color. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, they do for ratings. They want to make sure that the fans have a good and I wasn't part of it, but it was okay. I don't have a problem with that, because the celebration and being there for my guys was the most important thing.
You're a huge Lightning fan. Like, it's not just your job. You
yes.
love.
Do you see my wall?
Yes, yes. It's not just your job. But you're such a Lightning fan. I know your husband is. Really yes. enjoys going to the games too with you. When yeah. did you know that? Like, was there a time in Game 6 where you were like, This is it. They're winning.
I knew when I walked into that arena for the watch party that
did you?
Night. I literally did. Because when I came in, I was so nervous. I'm never nervous. I got in there and I had goosebumps and I just was like antsy. And I'm pretty high strung, as you can tell. But I was extra high strung. And it just was against my personality to be the way I was. I was just almost couldn't sit still. I was dancing the whole time and I just knew it was going to happen. And at the end, I don't know if you saw my little live video that I posted. I was screaming and crying.
Everybody was screaming and crying.
I was full on ugly crying. Like,
yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. She FaceTimes me and I can't even hear her. I can barely see her and she's just sobbing uncontrollably. Yes. And I was like, okay, it's okay.
That was me. And a lot of people call their parents. I knew better, because my mom would have been like, what's wrong with her?
It's a moment. And, you know, it's something that every Lightning fan will remember forever. And of course, the way the celebrations have gone, I don't know how they had to have something going in their heads. Like, this is what we're thinking of planning, but I have never seen a championship get so much like coverage nationally. And I think the boat parade was just so Tampa. Like, it just doesn't get any more Tampa than a boat
that's
parade.
That's what we do here. Boats and water, you know, and I thought it was very fitting that they had it on the water. So,
yeah. Now, so going back to the, I think it's 361 days, something like that, 361 days from when the season started. What were your thoughts like looking? I know it's so hard because we had that long break, but like, what, aside from the Stanley Cup, will you remember the most from the season?
I think the biggest thing that I'll remember other than the break is that last game, because it was, well, the game that got canceled due to COVID, because the game before that was on a Monday and it was a Wednesday night and we were getting ready to, you know, we kind of have a ritual around my house as far as getting ready for the game. And we were kind of in the process of doing that. And, you know, you were hearing all these news reports and then they came out and said that the game was canceled and all future games until, you know, the nation got a hold over this. And I was like, wow. My hockey's gone.
Yeah, I think everybody felt that way. Now, I know you have a few favorite players. And I don't want you to, you know, kind of single anybody out. but how fun has it been to be a part of this particular group with this group of guys?
I would have to say it's been very special. Even though I got to meet a lot of the other ones before, like Brian Boyle and Bishop, but there's some that kind of this, I don't know what to call them. Like, they're the core through the entire team, like Hedman, you know, I met him a while back and then every year we kind of get a photo. And I just love that, you know, what Point has added, what Shattenkirk has added, what Bogosian has added, what Maroon has added, you know, with his no shirt last night. It's so great. You know, and all the pieces that they've put on, McDonough, all those guys, I love them all. You know, even though, like you said, I have some favorites. And, you know, Vassie, I don't mind saying Vassie's my favorite because he's a goalie. Goalies take a lot. And they're standing the entire game regardless, you know. And so that's why he's my favorite. But the other guys, I just think it's the mesh of all those people they pulled in, the ones that had been there, and, you know, that team effort that everybody put in together.
Were you, we're going to like not keep you too much longer, but were you, what were your feelings when you saw Stephen Stamkos? Like,
oh,
right? Like when he went out in that game, I was like, I can't ask for anything more than this right now.
Well, you know what? I felt like when he got hurt back before the season ended before, I felt like it was serious. Just mm-hmm. because of the way that the organization was treating it in the media, and the way he was treating it in the media. He wasn't saying very much. They weren't saying very much. I said, it's serious. That's the way I felt inside. And because he hadn't played up until then, I felt like it was serious. When he came on the ice that night for warmups and stuff, I was concerned. I can't say I was in an uproar and very super happy. I was concerned because what I didn't want to happen is for him to injure himself even more than he already has and then not be able to play anymore at all. You know, mm-hmm. I guess I'm that mama bird, you know?
Yeah, right. I was going to say that. You're like mama bear. Like, these are my guys.
These are my babies. And, you know, most of them are young enough to be my kids, you know, except for Stamkos. He's a little bit older. and I think right now Maroon is older and whoever else that's in their 30s, late 30s, I'll put it like that, over 35 maybe. but otherwise, because my oldest son is 31. But I just felt that concern for him. I didn't want him to hurt himself anymore. You know, I knew his desire to want to be a part of everything was probably going to overrun everything else. But I just didn't want him to be hurt.
All right. So we're going to have a few months here. We don't know how long. We're hoping just a couple. What are your plans for the next few months? I know you do a lot of speaking engagements, kind of motivational work, a lot of work in the community. Yeah. So what do you have planned over the next couple months?
Well, I don't have a lot on the books right now just because a lot of stuff kind of went away with COVID, but I'm starting to little by little put things back on, events and whatnot, but I really want to get back into schools. My biggest thing is reading. Literacy is huge for me, especially for little people. They don't always have someone to read to them at night. They don't always have a grandma or grandpa that'll sit down with them. So I like to go into the schools probably like every month or so and sit down with like either kindergarten through second grade. That's kind of like my cutoff there because they're so bright eyed and bushy tailed. They're so absorbing and little sponges. And I just like to go and read to them and let them know that somebody in the community care about them.
You're just amazing. Do you get a ring? I want to know, are you getting a ring?
I think so, yes.
Yay! I'll start a petition. Hey. You should get a ring.
All right. Well, we thank you so much. We know it's been just a crazy few days for you.
It has.
Look beautiful as always.
Thank you.
and we will hopefully catch you soon.
Yeah, remind everybody where they can reach out to you if they want to get in touch with you.
You can get in touch with me on social media. I'm out there and I answer my own messages. I don't have a person. So Instagram, I am Sonia Bryson Kirksey. On Twitter, I'm Sunny Sings. And I don't really deal with people on Facebook. That's kind of like from my family there. But those other two outlets, you can hit me or email uniquelysunny, UNIQUELYSONNI at gmail.com. Or you can go on Cameo and request a video and I'll sing happy birthday to you.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, is it just your name on Cameo?
Yes. Sonia Bryson Kirksey.
I think I know what I want from my birthday.
I think I'm going to do it. Your birthday's in December.
So, all right, Sunny Sings. Oh my Lord. I don't know about you, but I am sleep deprived since Monday night.
Me too.
Oh my Lord. Thank you so much, Sonia Bryson Kirksey. We love you so much. And thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You couldn't tell already. I'm just a fan. I completely fangirl over Sonia Bryson.
She's, I think it's great. I love having her on because people will say privately or, you know, on Twitter to us, like, oh, she's such a good person. And you'll see a lot from the celebration. People talk about, wow, she's so nice. Like, people really don't realize, like, she's an incredible human being.
Yeah. She deserves all the good that comes her way. Yeah. And I hope she gets her ring. And if she does, I want to see her wearing it.
She says she's getting it. She says she's getting it.
We'll have to talk to her at the beginning of next season once again, because she's one of my favorite people. She's just so positive.
I know.
So this is part one of our super, super big Stanley Cup extravaganza show. Part two will be coming for you tomorrow. And we have a follow-up with one of our favorite guests. That's all I'm going to say. And we'll talk about, like, you know, the exit interviews and the injuries and all of that kind of stuff on this part two of our super, super extra special Stanley Cup show. It has a different name every time I talk about it, but
that's fine.
Let's talk about the celebrations. So I went to the thing on what night was it? Tuesday night, where it was the families and suite owners. It was the VIP, and it was very cool. You know, it was very subdued, but the guys looked really tired because they literally got off the plane, got on a trolley, and were dumped at Amalie Arena. So it was very short, very
sweet. Was it very intimate, like Sonia kind of said? You felt like this is not really...
It wasn't for me. It was for them with their families to celebrate. Once, like, the program was over and people spoke, you know, the families and the players got to go on the ice and kind of celebrate with their families. So it was very sweet. You know, kind of what they would have been able to do had it been not in a bubble. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it was Blakey Coleman. Mm-hmm. Put the baby in the thing. And that is, like, I don't know why, over the years has become my favorite thing.
Yeah. Shattenkirk put his baby in the cup. Like, a lot of little babies were sitting in that cup. But then Wednesday, the team assembled at Amalie Arena, took the team picture. Some guys have already shaved. Blake Coleman shaved. Andre Palat shaved. You know, so they did that. Then they trucked them all over to Davis Island, where they got on the boats and had a parade. And I was out by the Laurel Street Bridge, by the Riverfront Center. And it was very nice. People were being very, you know, socially distant and wearing masks and everything, and everybody was being safe, but it was really cool. And like you said, with Sonia, it couldn't have been any more Tampa than a boat flotilla with Stanley Cup. Like, you throw the Stanley Cup on a boat. I mean, it was amazing. By the time it looked like the convention center and the American Social area, there were a lot of people, and it looked like Alex Killorn was out there on his jet ski, had the Stanley Cup
that
on his jet ski.
Me. I cannot tell you. I
don't
was like,
end up
I don't
at
like
the
this.
Bottom of the Hillsborough River. Please don't end up. But they were fine. They were good. But it looked like that was crazy. They were having a good time. So by the time the team got to me, where I was standing, like, Yanni Gourde was already shirtless.
I saw that. That's hilarious.
So it was a really good time. It looked like the guys were enjoying themselves too. I believe it was also on NHL. I believe it was also on NHL Network. I saw some screenshots of NHL Network showing the parade. So it was very, really cool. And then they made their, and it was running very late. So then they finally made their way to Raymond James Stadium, where they had 16,000 fans socially distant. And they had this program, and I thought they did a really nice job. And the thing, like, I will remember the videos and everything of when the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup, and we were like, wow, these guys know how to party. I would stand our guys up against that team any day. Here's the thing. These guys deserve it. I mean, and they said it the other night. This was probably the hardest Stanley Cup in the history of the NHL to win, just because of the circumstances and everything going on. So these guys deserve to celebrate. And when you think about it, they probably didn't really celebrate in the bubble at all. Like, we didn't even see them in the locker room when they would win a series really celebrate. So all of that pent up, you know, energy, and then seeing their families again and being back home and being surrounded by the fans, I don't think you could expect anything else. But I love that we are seeing the personalities of these players. Besides Pat Maroon, we all know that guy's got a personality, but like you said with Sonya Bryson, Nikita Kucherov,
he's lost his mind.
It's party
I
cooch.
Love it.
It's
party
cooch.
Cooch gone wild. I love
cooch
it.
Cooch gone wild. Like,
the minute that buzzer went off, he's
smile,
been a who is this guy?
I'm like,
who is this guy?
He interrupted Jeff Vinnick's
oh my gosh,
speech.
I can't.
And started pouring a beverage down his throat.
You know, I want to bring something up because I found this very interesting. Somebody tweeted, I haven't watched a whole lot of other teams, other cities celebrating, but does a team normally every single person talk about how amazing their owner is?
No.
And a lot of people came back and said, I've never seen this before.
Yeah. So it's as much of a celebration for Jeff Vinnick and all everything that he's put into this team. And I loved that they all acknowledged him. So yeah, Kucherov with the personality, Hedman kind of with the personality. He's still like the president, you know, like the elder statesman, you know, he spoke very well. Pat Maroon looking like the mayor of Key West, I believe Paul Kennedy called him, shirtless with a hat on and cigars sticking out of his mouth. Alex Killorn, we all know he has a personality thanks to his Doc Talk series, and he thanked the governor for opening the bars in time for the boys to party.
Steve Stamkos kind of has let loose a little.
I just love seeing it because they've just kind of been so reserved and focused for so long.
Yeah.
Celebrate, boys. Like, just celebrate. You
just
deserve
be
it.
Be safe.
Just, yeah. So, I don't know. I thought it was great. I'm so happy for him.
Yeah. A lot of fun. A lot of fun at Raymond J's. I wasn't even trying.
And then I think at the end of the show, Alex Killorn was like, after party at American Social. And I can't tell where they were, but I was looking at Eric Chernak and Jan Ruda's Instagram stories yesterday. And it looks like they may have been at American Social. They had a little corned off area for themselves. There were fans along a barricade, like trying to party with them. So, you know, I think this party is going to last probably through this weekend here. And then everything will come back to Earth. So we thank you so much for joining us for this super special Stanley Cup extravaganza episode. We'll have part two for you tomorrow. In the meantime, leave us a 5-star rating and leave us a review as well so we can invite more hockey-loving Lightning fans to join our dysfunctional hockey-loving family. Also, if you've missed any episodes, catch up at GameMisconduct.com. You can also hit us up on Facebook and Twitter at GameMis with a Z, Conduct.com. We'll catch you for part two tomorrow with another very special guest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.